Seminar, Agelessness, Lecture 24, Finale. Agelessness is peace. How about that? Agelessness is peace. Chaos is peace defined. It is without purpose. It is without awareness. It is isness. Agelessness is peace. Many of you are sort of anxious and interested in accomplishing certain goals, and the minute you start becoming anxious and interested in accomplishing certain goals, you become anxious, you become tense, you become uptight, you become not peaceful, and when you lose that peacefulness, you lose control. You lose control of whatever it is that you want. And of course, that's what you have to be very careful about. I find that whenever you have something that you want, the most important thing to do is to write a little note about it. For instance, Lydia would like to have the Monterey seminar from the year 2004, and she would like to have a copy of it because she was there. Well, now, that one's not on my computer, and it's not on the it's not on the archives, in the archives, but I have to check it out. And somewhere it is, but my computer breaks down occasionally, and files are lost, and sometimes they are filed in other areas and other things. And it's very interesting. Now, one thing that we could learn is do not be frustrated. Do not be uptight. Do not let things disturb you. Because the moment they disturb you, you are an unpleasant person to be with. You are an unpleasant person for yourself. And that is not a happy situation. As I was looking through the information for these various things, I was going through at least three or four dozen files at my office in the 3 minutes before I came down here. Now, that's a lot of files. And I went to my date book, a little book I usually carry with me, and in there, under the year 2004, was the title of the seminar for Monterey from 19 to 21 of whatever month it was, October perhaps. And it gave the date and the time. So then I look up through the seminars, not paying any attention to their titles, just looking for the date, because they're filed by dates. And there's none there from 2004 at Monterey. So I have to look in some other files. And Ellen has the gadget on her desk right now, which is my backup file. And perhaps in that backup file it may be. So I will go into that backup file and see if it's there and find out. I'm so at peace. I'm not concerned. I'm not upset about it. I'm not worried about it. You see, chaos is peace defined. We said that chaos is order defined before also. Chaos is when everything seems to go haywire, nothing seems to work out right, we have no idea what to do, and then we start using miracles that come to us. My brother sent me a Happy New Year card, and on the Happy New Year card it was a new program that they entered into. It was about sending cards, and to listen to his card you had to join the organization that sends out his cards. To listen to his card, you had to press the button that sends it out. And I thought, no way, I don't want to join a card group. I don't want cards. And so I read through other areas. And in very fine type down at the bottom, if you only want to listen to the card, press here. So I went down there and pressed there, and it wouldn't let me see the card. They wouldn't let me see the card because I hadn't agreed to become a member. And so I said, thank you very much. And I sent a note to my brother and I said, thank you for your lovely New Year's card. Appreciate your thoughtfulness. You know, and that's it. I never did get to see it. I never will get. You saw it?
Yeah.
What is on it?
Dancing and singing.
There's dancing birds on the leaf?
Yes.
That's one of them. He sent two. Yeah. And you see, every time my sister-in-law, signs a new thing like that. See, they're retired and they have nothing to do except look through the internet. And so she's always sending it to us, always sending us these wonderful things. And it could be frustrating, but I figure if it doesn't come up exactly easy and nice to look at, forget it. It's not worth bothering them. I know they're sending their love, and so I send it back to them and say thank you. But you see, this is what it's all about. This is what we are all about. Keep it simple. Now, imagine if I didn't have an internet, if I didn't have a computer. What would they do? Yeah, I probably wouldn't hear from them at all. And how wonderful that would be. No, to hear from them because they want me to hear from them, and to hear from them just because it's convenient on the computer to throw everybody's name on the list and send it down the run, that's another thing, right? But to hear from them because they want me to hear from them, how wonderful. She sends a Christmas card, usually she used to send it, now she sends an email card, but she'd send a Christmas card once a year, all is fine here, everybody's fine, the children are growing up like weeds, and now they're having children, and their children are having children, and we're great-grandparents now, and we're doing all these wonderful things, and life is great, and same thing every year, except that they add from the children to the grandchildren to the great-grandchildren, you know. And probably, the way they're going, it'll probably even be great-great-grandchildren. They have very prolific children. But that's great. You see, chaos is peace defined. I look at these things and I listen to these things and I think they're very happy. Now, as I was showing Dorothea on her computer this morning, she was looking at the pictures on the page. And what's the name of the pictures on the page? Web picture page?
Or web shots.
Web shots. Thank you. She was looking at those web shots and said, oh, they're so pretty. Oh, they're so pretty. And I said, well, what you want to do is just load yourself up with them. Put 2,000 or 3,000 down there and let them play through and you can enjoy that, you know. Make it that and the music would make your computer very worthwhile for you, right? Yeah. So we will have Sylvia show you how to bring up the web shots, the free web shots every week, and bring them up and put them on your computer, and then they'll automatically play. Did you see Sylvia's computer? You did not go into Sylvia's office?
I have seen it in the past.
Well, that's the same. It's the same today as it is in the past. Just a few new pictures.
Oh,
yeah. So, did you like it?
Oh, yes.
Did you like it very much? Is that what you'd like to do to your computer, to have those pictures on there when you're not looking at it? I mean, when you're not doing something else?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she'll show you how.
All right.
She'll show you how. And it only costs you about $2 million.
Oh.
Cheap, right? Cheap, right?
Yeah.
The webshot is free to $2 million now for me.
Can I send anything email to you?
Yes. Email check?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The check is in the email. That'd be charming. Agelessness is when you're happy, willing, and able to play the games. We are so consistent in looking at things with a jaundiced eye. We say, oh, that's the way it's got to be. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Well, we're in a new age now. There's no got to be. There's no got to be. Dorothea?
Yes.
You are closing in on 2,000 years now. And when... And you're still going to be around for a long time yet.
Yeah.
So what you may well see in your lifetime is that we are able to go to the store and buy a chip. And we glue it to our forehead. And that chip lets us see everything, know everything, view everything, enjoy everything. For $499, you can buy a set of glasses that are like this. you know, and to go around to here. And they're complete in themselves. And you can watch movies on them. And the movie is like looking at a 10-foot screen from 20-foot distance to it. Really fantastic. And the sound is right there in your ear. You can walk around, and you wouldn't walk around very much, you bump into things, but you could sit in your chair, you could sit out in the park, you could be anywhere, and just enjoy this movie, whatever movie you want. And they play right on there, and they're just fantastic. People really find them very enjoyable. Now, that's that. That's today. Tomorrow, you buy a little chip and paste it to your temple, and you can have everything. You can have your email, you can have your telephone, you can have your movie theater, you can have anything you want. I have the GPS, which is Global Position
System.
Global Position System. It's a global position finder. It finds you anywhere on the globe. And if you buy my program that I bought, you will have the United States and Canada. Everywhere in the United States and Canada, you can drive and it will find you. And if you pay a few dollars more, you can have all of Europe. You can have Europe and you can have whatever they cover in Africa. And you can also go to India. And you can go to, I'm sure China's on it. I mean, China's not going to be left out of this stuff. And Japan definitely is on there. So you just buy the little extra that you drive in China, and it tells you right where you're going. It tells you right where to turn. And it's in English, or German, or Swiss, or Chinese, anything that you want. You see, we are in an ageless situation. There is no time, no space, no anything in this ageless thing. And it is without a purpose. Now, what's the purpose of being able to do that? In the world of 9 billion people, how many people are going to take advantage of that type of a program? It doesn't matter, does it?
No.
Those who take advantage of it will pay for it and enjoy it. You see, we never say things might not happen because there's people wouldn't be able to enjoy it. Because whenever an idea comes up, the ability to fulfill that idea comes out because we are ageless. We are without time, without space. In the olden days, back in 1920s, 30s, 40s, we used to say, we will plant trees in memory of our children. Well, by the time you get that tree planted and it's grown, the area is ripped down where your trees were and they put up a subdivision or done some other things. They maybe put in a whole new city. And we don't plan for the future. We live in the now. We live in the now. And when we want to say Greenpeace, when we want to say save the atmosphere, protect these things, it's total foolishness. If we are enjoying the atmosphere we have now, then that's good. But to do it for future generations is foolish. Because we have no idea what future generations are going to do. We do it right now for ourselves. It is without purpose. We live without a purpose. Purely to be ourselves and have fun. Now, is it a joy to you to chop down a forest? Or is it a joy to you to see the forest full and blooming and wonderful? You see the forest in its radiance, in its joy. This is what is a joy to see. And there's not a purpose. That's just an enjoyment. So you are going to do everything you can to maintain that forest in its beautiful quality. Forest primeval. You're going to do everything you can to keep that forest glorious. You're going to do everything you can to keep the rivers clear so you can swim there, or boat there, or fish there. Who wants to fish in a dirty river? Chesapeake Bay on the east coast of the United States used to be excellent for crabs, for lobsters, for, not lobsters so much, but yeah, a few, and for lots of other fish. But with the dirt from the communities that are along the eastern seaboard going into the Chesapeake Bay, it polluted the bay so badly that all these things died or went to sea. They didn't stay in the bay of fresh water. They went out. And so, if we want to make better septic systems, better sewer systems, so that we have better sewer systems for our property, we in the same time are making a better system of water. Our oceans and rivers will be more pollutant-free. And we're not doing it to make the oceans pollution-free, but we're doing it for convenience of having the sewer systems taking away in a harmonious way. You follow what I'm saying? You see, we are not doing it to preserve the atmosphere, preserve the climate. We're doing it really out of convenience. But in the process, we preserve. Many things are being done in that way. And it's not without a purpose. It is without a purpose. It's not with a purpose. It's without a purpose that we are doing this. We are not doing it to save the world. We're doing it to enjoy the world right now. If you can get your mind clued into the fact of enjoy the world right now and enjoy its changelessness in ever-moving ways that is changing, it's changing constantly, and not be disturbed about anything. Like this morning, Ingeborg was upset because the table was rearranged after she had spent a great deal of time setting it. Now, the rearranging of the table was not so much what upset her, but what upset her was that she was not asked for permission to change her table setting. Well, when we are possessed by the things that we do, the fun is all out of it. The joy is all out of it. Because if somebody comes along and messes up something that you've just done, and you say, "Well, what did you do? You messed up." Oh, what we were doing? What we're doing is we're getting upset about something that we shouldn't be possessed about. Possession ages us terribly. One of the greatest things to age us is possession. We're possessed by life. We're afraid to live. We're afraid to take our skis and go down the ski slope. We're afraid to get on a toboggan and go swing. And Ellen, oh, smarty Ellen over here, "I love skiing. I love doing this. But she doesn't like to go to the fair park and get on these roly-roly rides." She says, "That's not any fun." But it's the same as skiing, you know? It's the same thing you do on a ski slope. And Dorothea says, "No."
No way.
Dorothea, how long have you been skiing?
Ever since a child.
Ever since it? Well, hey, this I didn't know about. How wonderful.
That's lucky.
Yeah, how wonderful. Dorothea.
You know us, you know all that.
And you sound like Abba Gabba Gleba Gibby.
Minneapolis, you know.
Oh, Minneapolis, yes, with lots of snow and lovely hills to slide down. Yes, yes, yes. And built-in ski slides at the park.
Yeah. Skating rinks.
And skating rinks and stuff like that. Yes, 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 yes. That's the northern United States, which is very lovely. Temperate zone. Lots of beautiful winters. And Dorothea, you moved to California because you enjoy the warmth.
Right.
Right. Well, then don't say, there's a lot of people who like Minneapolis. I mean, they're crazy, but they like it. There's a lot of people who like the North Country. Look at these people here. They came from Switzerland because they like Switzerland. No, because they like California. And of course, California isn't putting on a warm coat for us this first of January day, but it's nice. Okay, it is without awareness, agelessness. You are not aware that you're ageless. The moment you're aware that you're you're ageless. What are you doing?
You're in the now.
Huh?
You're living in the now.
Yeah, you're living in the now. But what are you doing when you are aware that you're ageless?
You're out of the now.
You're judging. You're judging and you're comparing. And you cannot compare agelessness, because the minute you compare it, then you have an age. You have a comparison. Yeah? And when you say you're 2,000 years old, or you're 50 years old, or you're whatever, you're making a judgment. No. Sylvia told us a story about the young man who wanted God to give him $1 million, you know. And God said, just a second. Well, the second was a million years, So this is how it is with us. The moment we compare, we don't know what time program is going to be involved. We may no longer be around to receive it when it comes. And of course, it won't do us much good, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to see that you get it. You've heard people say that to you. Well, what do we say to them? Lydia, what do we say?
Forget it.
No, no, no. Now.
Oh, now.
Now or not at all? Now. You pay up now, you give the gift now, or forget it. So someone says to Lydia, Lydia, I'm going to give you a new Rolls Royce. And Lydia said, well, thank you very much. When may I expect it? Well, it'll be a few months. Well, don't bother, unless you want to send it to me. Oh, I'm glad to send it to you. Because I'm moving from Barron, I'm going to Antarctica. And so I'm going to be living down there for 5 years with my husband, because he has an ambassadorial position down there for 5 years. And but Antarctica, what difference does it make? You put it on the boat, and I can drive it between the clubhouse and our home, which is like 30 feet, you know, and go back and forth. By the time I get it warmed up, I could have been there, you know. But you see, it sounds silly, but you say that. Now, if they really are giving you a gift, they don't care where you are. They don't care where you're using it or where you're not going to use it. They just give it to you. And you see, you do this with all the delight in your heart. And if they don't give it to you, then it doesn't matter. I need the walk, the 30 feet, you know, to get out there and 20 degrees below zero and so forth. And it's just, oh, that's a lovely day. That's a lovely day. 50 to 100 degrees below zero is ooh-wee, you know. And they do get cold. In the Smithsonian Magazine, there was a picture of people running a race. Running a race. And they're in their, you know, their hands are showing, and they have a tight suit on or something, and their faces are open, you know, and they may have a hat on that. And one guy is pushing his little buggy along, you know, he's sitting, he has no bottom, he has no legs, so he's pushing this little cart he's sitting in. And they are in Antarctica for part of their race. And they're racing up the hill in Antarctica. And wow, you know, that is quite something to have a race that is partly in Antarctica. But what the heck, why not? It's charming. You want to get in this race? Now you better read all the details of where the race is going to be. We will get you there. We'll transport you. But this is what it's going to be. We're going to go through the Sahara Desert. We're going to go through downtown Milan. We're going to go through Antarctica. And we're going to go on a mile and a half portion of Antarctica. That's not so great in the weather that it is. It's pretty great. And things like that. But you see, agelessness, it's being there. Now, as I described these things to you, were you with me? Sure. You were right there seeing these things and seeing how interesting they are and thinking, I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad that I'm not physically there. But you could have been. I could have painted the picture a little more completely, and I could have put not only goosebumps on you, but cold bumps on you. Ah, freezing, you know. But they weren't. The people in the picture, quite amazing. Quite amazing what they did. You see, agelessness knows no limitation. Agelessness is just joining in the fun. What is it I say to my students constantly? Play the game. Play the game. It doesn't matter what the game is. It only matters that you live in this dramatic, dynamic, open activity where you're just having a lot of fun and you're doing lots of good things. And that's what life's all about. That's what agelessness is all about. And that's what we want to be all about. having a lot of fun and doing all those things that are a lot of fun. But it is without awareness. Agelessness is without awareness. You have no idea when and how these things are going to be, because they just are. They just are. Now, Dorothea, when would you like to have your new car?
I don't need a new car.
Dorothea, I just got done saying play the game.
Oh, right now. All right,
now, Dorothea, you're out of the game.
Okay.
Okay, Ellen, when do you want your new car?
Now.
You heard her say? Now. Now, isn't that fun?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you ride with her in her car?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But you didn't want it for yourself.
No.
Now, why don't you get a new car and give it to me?
Yeah, I could do that.
Well, Dorothea, do you want a new car?
Yes.
Such a hesitancy, though. Play the game. Dorothea, what would you do if you had a new car, other than giving it to me? What would you do if you had a new car?
Drive it out here occasionally.
Well, now, Dorothea, if you had a new car, let's say you had a stretch limousine, you know, a big, long bird. You like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that, yeah. Okay, and naturally you'd have a chauffeur. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and you don't have to worry about where he is. You just take out your little cell phone and you say, Jeeves, I'm driving to the mountain. And Jeeves says, yes, ma'am, I'll be there for it right away. And so then he comes over and he has this beautiful stretch limousine, and it's white, or is it pink?
Preferably white.
White, okay. It's beautiful. It's your choice. It's your limousine. And so in your limousine, you have a spa. In your limousine, you have a bar for serving. What do you drink in your limousine?
The fruit juices.
Fruit juices. Oh, boy. And they're always full.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And do you have any little snacks of any kind?
Oh, yes.
What snacks do you have?
Chocolate.
What? Chocolate?
Chocolates.
Chocolate. Oh, you've got a chocolate factory in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's cool. Now, how many seats do you have? Maybe about 20?
That sounds good.
Okay, about 20 seats in your little stretch limousine. And what kind of music is playing on your Bose system in there?
Oh, Bose system. Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classics.
Classics, right. And the mellow classics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not the heavy-duty Bach, but the mellow classics.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you always have guests with you when you travel, or do you sometimes travel alone?
Travel alone.
Okay, now, you're getting the message? She can see 20 people in there, and she travels alone. But you see, Dorothea is a genius. Dorothea is a supermaster. Dorothea says, Jeeves, I'm going to the mountain. Very well, madame. How many are we taking with us? Just me. Okay, madame. I will have the limousine in the proper proportion. So he brings the limousine down to just your regal seat in the back, and you sit there. Will you be taking a spa while you're driving, madam? And you said, oh, I just came out.
Yeah.
Very good. So he puts the spa away. And so your car is designed for you at any time. Now, play the game. Play the game. So Dorothea says, Jeeves, I'm going to be staying up there for a while, and I would like to have my limousine the way I'd like to have it. And Jeeves says, well, do you want a two-story or one? And she says, well, two-story would be nice. Now, if you read Harry Potter, they had a little suitcase that they took along. When they went out to their activity out in the park or the field, they opened the suitcase, and out came this two-story, three-story house with 8 bedrooms and with the full kitchen, dining room, the whole shebang, everything. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, would you have an elevator from downstairs to upstairs?
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to lose weight. No.
You're trying to lose weight?
What?
My goodness. Dorothea.
No. You played the game.
Dorothea.
Yes.
Your figure is ideal right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Your figure is ideal right now. Dorothea?
Yes.
You can eat all you want or nothing, and you're always satisfied.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Dorothea, your body is perfect in every way. Now, can you see, if Dorothea were just a little more free with her thinking, she could have such a good time with these games, such good fun. We could just, Dorothea, what animals do you like? Well, I wasn't thinking of all animals in your car. I was thinking of just one or two. You're not Noah, are you?
No.
No. Okay. So one or two.
One or two.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you can be, dream your wildest dream, when you can be outrageous in your thinking about yourself, in your speaking about yourself, what's going to happen to you? Your life will be outrageous, and that doesn't mean bad. Your life will be unlimited. Your life will express itself in the most magnificent manners. But it cannot express itself in its most magnificent manner if it doesn't have a fertile field in which to plant the seeds. You understand? So, learn to dream your wildest dream. Learn to play the game. Learn to use your imagination. And when you do that, you have a wonderful time. You have a wonderful, all of you. Now, the lesson we're talking to Dorothea about is equally applicable to all of you. There's no time in agelessness. There's no age. You see, we think of doing things at our age. Me, Ski, I'm 45, I'm 52, and whatever. Ski, I don't want to break a leg. Hey, look, this is your world. This is your dream. This is your vision. You visualize yourself sliding down that hill, and you're in perfect control. You're Gregor, you know, and dances down the slope as though he were, you know, Fred Murray, you know, as though he could be the greatest dancer in the world. Now, what are you? You're the greatest dancer in the world. You're the greatest in anything you want to do. But realize that this is your game. This is your gift. When I leave you today at the conclusion of this seminar, calling it agelessness, I want to leave you ageless. I don't want to leave you half-cooked, you know. I don't want to leave you without the vision of who and what you are and how wonderful you are. And if you don't want to take the bait, if you don't want to take the game and play with it, hey, I've been beating my gums for nothing here, you know. It's kind of a shame. You want to enter into the game. Play the game, enjoy the game, be the game. This is what it's all about. Now, agelessness is peace. Chaos is defined as peace. It is without a purpose. It is without awareness. It is isness. That's what agelessness is. It is isness. Now, are you isness? Are you ready for this isness? Are you ready for this unbelievable? With God, all things are possible, and you're God. You are divine. You can speak your word and experience anything you want in your life right now. Right now. And in fact, you are experiencing anything you want in your life right now. Exactly what you want. Exactly the things that are important to you. And if you feel you're not, it's you that's feeling that, nobody else. Everybody else feels that you are. Everybody else looks at you and says, wow, what a beautiful woman. What a fantastic man. Everybody looks at you and says, wow, what a genius. They say, oh my goodness, you know, you can ski down the hill, do these things. Why do you think Gregor fell in love with Rochelle, among other things? Because Gregor loves to ski and Rochelle loves to ski. Oh, is that the reason? Well, among other things, you know. But, you see, they can do these things. They can share these things, and they don't find them outrageous when the other is skiing and they're not. What's the thing that most people who are a couple, one ski and the other doesn't, what does the one person who doesn't ski think? It's dangerous. It's be careful, don't hurt yourself. Be careful now when you go up there. Don't go too high. Don't go this. If both ski, poof. Let's see if we can try this and do this, and let's see how we get close to those trees, and let's see how we can zip, 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 you know? When everybody skis, then everybody thinks it's great. But this is what it should be all about. This is what agelessness is. We associate ourselves with people who are ageless. We associate ourselves with people who live in the ageless consciousness. Now, do you live in the ageless consciousness? I would like to think you do. And I would like to think that you can, even more than you are. Even more. Now, we saw that show, Tate Everlasting, and we saw it again, and we were very pleased with seeing it again. And in seeing it again, we saw nuances we had not seen before. And we saw attitudes we had not seen before. And if you were watching carefully, you recognize one of the major acting functions of that movie. I'll ask you what it was. One of the major acting functions of that movie was what? What was one of the major acting functions of that movie? How did they act as a major acting function? What were they doing?
Well, it was much fear there.
I'm sorry?
There was much fear that they'd be discovered.
Yeah, yeah. There was fear, but that's just an emotion. How did they act? As actors, how did they act? What technique did they use in acting that was so very specific, okay?
They believed.
What?
They believed.
They
were eternal.
Yeah, they did believe. You're correct, but you're not on the path that I want to go on. That you're very correct. Now, what acting technique did they use? Were they Shakespearean actors? Were they speaking with their voice? Were they using their emotions? Were they using their face? Were they using their body movements?
They were very natural.
But what was the major acting technique that they used? They used their facial expressions. The girl. She was a lovely girl,
yeah.
But I would say 80 to 90% of her acting was with her face. Her face told the story of what she was seeing and what she was knowing and what she was doing, and she was glorious. You felt good with her. You felt such innocence and such sincerity and such wonder. And the boy himself, as he looked at his brother telling the story of being living forever. His face was just a beautiful mirror picture of it. And when he heard that his brother was going to take the girl away, his face, you can't do that. His face said it as well as his voice, but he was acting it. And the father went through four different stages when he first met the girl. One was, how shall we handle this? Two, I'm a gentleman. And three, let's see, you know. And the fourth one was, we've been found out. Futility. Now, those actions were so strong and so powerful in their thinking and their way of presenting it that if they had done nothing else in that movie except to use their facial expressions, it would have been a very powerful movie. Now, when the boy was drinking at the fountain and the girl saw him, the girl was like this. What is this guy doing drinking at the bottom of the tree? That seems very strange. Her whole facial action was telling a whole story without words. And when he stood up, the first thing he did was, you know, the normal stretching a little bit. And then he saw her. And he said, shall I run and pretend nobody sees me? Well, what shall I do? What can I do? You know? And so then he took on his 17-year-old self-confidence, and he walked up to her, and he looked at her. All this is in looking. In looking first. In expression. Now, as I say, the impact of that movie was basically through facial expressions. And next time you watch it, pay attention to that. And pay attention to how you don't need to use a lot of words to talk. You don't need to use a lot of gestures. Your facial expression is so great. It's just so wonderful. And when the bad man talked to the girl at the gate, what did he do?
Full of expression.
I'm sorry?
That face was full of expression.
Oh, he was just a magical man of expressions with his face.
Good actor.
What?
Good actor.
Oh, good actor. Oh, yeah. Exquisite. It's a terrible role he played. But he played it with a magic, not with evilness, not with being a bad, bad person. He just was after making money with a project, you know. And he didn't have the same motivation that the Tux had about it, you know. So, you see, when you see something like that, and you don't interpret it, you just enjoy it. You just participate in it. You don't say what they're doing is right or wrong. You just say, how do they express themselves? How do they put across their emotion, put across their thought? Because this is you. In your agelessness, you are untouched by it. In your agelessness, you are not possessed by it. In your agelessness, you just enjoy it, and you look at it, and you think to yourself, gee, isn't that cool? Isn't that wonderful? And that's what it is. Because that's what you are. That's what you are. You are ageless. And you are working in your life as an ageless being. And I don't want you to be aware that you're ageless. I don't want you to do it with a purpose of being ageless. I want you just to do it with the, how do we say about the kids, the ingenuousness, the innocence of a child. If you can be your ageless self with the innocence of a child, not looking for discussing it, you made a big step. Now, I want to spend a moment on this point here. Lydia is a very aware woman, very good student, very aware woman. And Lydia is dealing in the field of mental sciences, in the field of metaphysics. And Lydia feels that the intellectual, technical information about the mental science is very important. And true, it is important. However, the most important thing for Lydia, or any of you, to get out of your Art and Science of Wholeness, Song of the Spirit, Illumination, Handbook of Ascended Master, the only thing for you to get out of any of that is that one thing that you get out of it, what is that? I am
God.
God. I am God. Now, if everything in the book is causing you consternation, if everything you talk about and you discuss with people involved in the same course is causing you consternation and confusion, stop and think. Are you putting your intentions on the content or on what you're getting out of it? Is it making you an ageless person, not aware of it, but being it? Being an ageless person, is it making you an illumined person? I would like to say yes on that. It's making you an illumined person. It is revealing to you the divinity that's within you in its greatest, most wonderful way. I'd like to say yes on that. How old do you have to be to take the courses of the University of Healing? Any age. Whether you're 1 year old or a million, it makes no difference. The only difference that it makes is that you believe that you are divine, that you believe you're the creator of your world. You believe that everything is in divine order. Now, we can have our semantics, we can have our grammatics, we can have our literary textuary, you might say, not quite up to what we would like to have it be, not that it's not, we would like to, but if we do that, then we're putting our concentration on the wrong direction. The book, the course, the teachings, the quizzes, the required reading should all be an inspiration to us. Now, I have said to every student I had contact with, the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East are a most exquisite set of books. Please read the life of teachings of the Masters of the Far East and read it as quickly and enjoyably as you can. Do not think you must believe that it is true. Do not think that it is false. It is just a beautiful story. It should be to you an inspiration to walk your spiritual path. It should be an inspiration to you to listen within. They say in what could be fiction, and it could very well be fact, because fact is often stranger than fiction. They say in there about the impossibilities of life. They say about walking on the water, which is no big deal. They say about manifesting food. They say about laying your body down on the path and then another body in which you live is equally physical, that you're doing things with it. They say about Jesus, and when the minute I read about that, it shook me up like it shook you up. They said that Jesus put up a block, a wall of love that no bandit could pass through. Well, Jesus wouldn't do that. He would put up a wall of love that anyone who passed through it would be loved. They didn't have to come through it, but if they passed through it, they would be loved, because that's his name. Jesus' name is love. And so that he would make a block wall, a brick wall, or a terrible wall that they bump into and they hurt themselves and had to be remedied, you know, I find that ludicrous. But again, I did not stop reading the book just because of that. Because I found many things that were incredulous to me. And I thought to myself, no, so what? So what? Maybe I'm not there yet. Now, the building, the temple, not made by hands. Nice temple. Well, why would anyone knock off a chip of the temple that so it would have to grow back? But they said that if a chip of the temple were broken off, it'd grow back. And why would the building be lit inside when anyone was there so they could see, and otherwise it wouldn't be lit? Why wouldn't it be lit all the time? Why wouldn't it be in a beautiful glow? Well, you see, it doesn't really need to be lit if nobody's there. If a tree falls in the forest, does it make a noise, you know? And these cones and these experiences are all very charming. And it just gets our mind to thinking, is it so? Is it not so? And when we reach the saturation of our thinking, then we say, to hell with it. What difference does it make? Mm-hmm. What difference does it make? Go with the flow. Am I getting a blessing out of it? Is someone going to feel good in finding an error in my book? And you would be amazed how many people have found an error in my book, at least three or four. And it's always the same error. And it is an error. It's a typo. But big deal. Big deal. You look at any book and you'll be amazed. You'd be amused not to find it, but they're there. But you don't find, because you're reading, When you read Harry Potter, you have no idea whether there were errors or not. When you have Harry Potter read to you by this English actor who reads it, you fall in love with everything. Wow, what a super. He just knows how to make those characters in his voice come alive. And things that are irrational, unreasonable, like Hermione living several days at a time so that she could take several courses that she wants to take at the school, and they do demand full time. So she has a machine that lets her do 3 days at once or more, you know, and the cloak of invisibility, that he would take a snowball and throw it at his friends from under the cloak of invisibility. Well, that is just, well, outrageous. I mean, that is sacred. Well, and it's sacred to throw a snowball at someone who did something he didn't like, you know. But you see, the joy of living in the now, the joy of agelessness, the joy of our spiritual journey should be a joy and not a tedious experience. Because when it's a tedious experience, we could just as well have stayed in bed. You know? It's strange, isn't it? I think we've done a very nice job on our seminar. I'm very happy with it, and I'm very happy with all of you. And as a recognition of how wonderful you are, I would like to have Ellen present you with a certificate which tells you what a good student you are. And the certificate says this: University of Healing, the Regents of the University, on recommendation of the faculty of the School of the Master, and by virtue of the authority in them vested, have conferred upon Gertrude Suter, seminar participant in agelessness, certificate of excellence, with all the honors, privileges, and obligations thereto pertaining, given at Campo, California, December 31st, 2005, signed Director of the School, Dr. E.J., Ellen Jeremy, and Dean of the University, Dr. Herbert L. Barley. And the same to Lydia Hunziker. And let's see, Dorothea Ruth Zimmerman. And Ingeborg.
Let's count somebody
Sylvia,
who was together.
And Ellen. So, Gertrude, you're here. Okay. So, Gertrude, here is your certificate of excellence, and it certainly suits you very well.
Thank you, Herb.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, my goodness, I get to have you all come up, huh? Okay. Lydia, you're a certificate of excellence, and you are excellent.
Thank you.
You're getting all this, aren't you, Sylvia?
The kiss is not always because
you can't make it.
You kiss too fast.
Yeah.
No,
I did.
Dorothea? Can you get over here?
Come in.
Can I have a smile?
Oh,
can I have a kiss?
Ah.
Yes. Did that a little better?
Yeah.
Welcome. Certificate of Excellence. Ingeborg? Now, like fantastic, the girl who's going to dance over here and jump and run. Come on, just run. That's a way. You're fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes? I won't do it unless I get a kiss. Oh. Okay, Sylvia, you're going to be last. Ellen, come over here. All right. You can take the camera.
I love you. Thank you.
Okay.
My teeth did not fall. It's okay.
It's gone.
Yes. And Sylvia, the certificate of excellence. December 31st, this was done yesterday. I love you.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good forever.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank
2006 you. Is only the beginning.
Yes.
I love you.
Love you.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I should shut this thing off. Yeah.
Apple.
It's connected over here. All right.
Yeah.